This is going to be part two of Chol Sheish V'Sakana. There might be part three, depending how I feel about it, and this is next time, but at least part two.
What was the last time?
Chol Sheish V'Sakana part one.
Oh, part one.
Okay. Chol Sheish V'Sakana part two. So let's discuss a few things that come up. First, the question is always issues of a possible danger. We're not sure if there's going to be a sakana right now. What's the likelihood? So there's a comment of the Ramban. The Ramban writes in the Torah Adam that if someone sustains an injury or an illness that put them in suffix sakanas nefashos, even if it's an off chance, we're mechal Shabbos. And that's generally the way we practice. If I have a suffix about a possible sakana, we are mechal Shabbos, and this is cited by the Beis Yosef. And the Shulchan Aruch here in Shin Chav Ches and Sevav, the Radvaz, the Gros Moshe, all of the poskim. The question, though, is about being Mechal Shabbos for a possible case that's going to be in the future. Meaning, right now, everything is fine. But maybe in the future, there'll be a problem. Not that there's a suffix now, but there's an issue that maybe what's going to come up in the future. So there's a sheet of the Chazanish. The Chazanish repeats this in a few places in Olos, in Yerodeya, in his letters, and his Talmidim bring it as well. That we are not Mechal Shabbos for asidos rechokos. Now, part of the issue in the sugi is trying to make practical their language. The Chazanish consistently writes asidos rechokos, future off, something off in the future. But what could that mean? And obviously, that depends on the situation for every individual. So things are a far off possibility. He doesn't explain how to measure this. But the Chazanish is very fearful of invoking Pikuach Nefesh in every situation because of what may happen in the future. Because if that's the case, then Yigui Mechal Shabbos Ol Shabbos. That's something that might happen in the future. So the Titzel Yezrin Chelaches says that if a person has a regular sickness that's not dangerous, but there are rare cases of people becoming dangerously ill from that illness, if it's not treated, we're still not Mechal Shabbos. If once in a while you don't treat a cold, it could develop into a serious case of pneumonia. That doesn't mean that you're Mechal Shabbos for a cold. That's the rule of the Titzel Yezer. Some things that only happen rarely for basic illnesses are not a reason to Mechal Shabbos. Rav Moshe writes in Arachayim L'Chelek Beis that you can override Inisada Raisa for a person whose condition is not currently life-threatening, but which can escalate to become more life-threatening later on. How are you? So he gives the example of the following case. An abscess in the gums is not necessarily fatal, nor should it be fatal. But if the infection spreads from the gums to the face, to the throat, that can go to the brain and the esophagus. So Rav Moshe says that could be fatal. And therefore he says that we treat an abscess of the gums as a sakana even before it spreads. That's the case Rav Moshe is writing about. I ain't the Kesser David on Dentistry and Halacha by Rabbi Dr. David Katz. So discuss that more. Okay. Then there's a discussion in the poskim by what about the famous 1 in 1,000 case? How do we view cases like that? So Rabbi Kiva Eger has a tshuva in Siman Samech, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman has a tshuva in Mincha Shlomo, and he says 1 in 1,000 is not a sakana according to anybody. And Rosh Hashanah Zalman says that if the situation is such that most people would take immediate action for fear of potential pikuach nefesh, you override Shabbos. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman has this rule, you have to look at what the norm is. If the norm is not to be Mechal Shabbos, and would not take care of this right now on a Wednesday afternoon, then you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. If you would take care of it right now on a Wednesday afternoon, then you would be Mechal Shabbos. That's the rule that he gives. So, for example, vaccines. I know it's a hot topic right now. We all understand the importance of vaccines. But let's say there's a smallpox outbreak, Rahman al-Islam. So normally on a regular Shabbos, we will not tell a person to get a vaccine for smallpox because there's no smallpox going on. So we wouldn't tell a person, if you have a kid who doesn't have a smallpox vaccine and it's not, and it's Shabbos, so then, I don't know, go back and play and we'll deal with it after Shabbos. But if there's an epidemic right now and there's an outbreak in your location, then the vaccine should be done that day and it will be over on Shabbos. That's what Shlomo Zalman's understanding. Because at that moment, at that situation, if it was a Wednesday and there was a smallpox outbreak, you would go to the doctor on that Wednesday. Of course you would. So you would do the same thing on Shabbos. That's Rosh Hashanah Zalman's rule, which I think is a good litmus test for cases that come up. If you would do something right now on a weekday, then you would do it on Shabbos. And if you wouldn't, then you wouldn't do it on Shabbos.
I assume it means you interrupt what you're doing to go do that. Correct. Not like if it was Wednesday and you wanted a flu shot, you'd get a flu shot.
Correct, yes. Meaning you wouldn't be like, well, I could do it after work. If you'd go right now and take care of it, then you would do it on Shabbos. That's the rule that Rosh Hashanah Zaman gives. This actually touches upon another sugya, which is not necessarily related to medical things, but there's an article in Asya, which is the Torah Journal in Eretz Yisrael, on medicine, Chelek Nun Zayin, Rav Mordechai Halperin, who's a famous Rav who deals with these things. So he has the question of a Lamaisa case of a teenage boy who went missing on Shabbos. And there was a question, he wasn't there for 2 days, 3 days, and now it was Shabbos, and they realized that something was going on. So he went to Rav Yashiv, and without getting to Rav Yashiv, said he didn't like his answer. Okay? He didn't like Rav Yashiv's answer, so he went to Rosh Shlomo Zalman on Shabbos. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman said that this is Pikuach Nefesh, and everything has to be done on Shabbos to find the young man. Now, eventually, the young man was found in the Russian compound, because there was a Hafkanah on Thursday, and he was arrested in the Hafkanah, and that's why nobody could find him, because he was in jail, and his ID was there, and that's where he was the whole time. So there was never a case of Pikuach Nefesh the whole time, and the kid was just got arrested for, sitting in front of a train, whatever was going on at that time. So Rabbi Halperin felt terrible, because he was Mechal Shabbos, driving all over Yerushalayim, looking for this kid, and he wasn't there, and he wasn't in Pikuach Nefesh at all. The kid was totally safe. So he went to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and he felt, do I need to do tshuva? What happened? What should I do in such a case like this? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman told him that he shouldn't be upset over being Mechal Shabbos, even though there was no real Pikuach Nefesh. He's called it Mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh. You did, at that moment, it was a Mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh because you didn't know what the situation was. And therefore, there's no issue, he says. And he says, if the same situation were to happen again, 100% you drive around in the police car and try to find the kid. 100%. You wouldn't take any questions. Of course, you should go do the same thing. And he says, the reality that everything was okay doesn't make one's actions chil Shabbos l'mafra. And he adds, v'yesh lo schar tov meis Hashem yisbarach avur machshava soha tova. You drive in, to the hospital, you drive into the facility, whatever it is, and you're told that it's a case of Chol Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh, and you get there, and it's clearly not. It was a miscommunication, they said the wrong thing, it was a misunderstanding. 100%, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, it wasn't anything Lamafreya, you're 100% clear, because it was Mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh at that time. Halacha L'maisa. Okay. We touched upon this a little bit more, but it happens in the next Siman in Shulchan Aruch, so we'll just touch it again. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuftes says, "Amar Rav Ada Bar Mas Amar Rav, Gav Hayad VeGav HaRegel HaRehim Kemaka Shachalal." If you have a wound on the back of the hand or on the top of the foot, so that is a terrible wound. Umechalin Alein Asar Shabbos, and this is cited by the Shulchan Aruch. Here, in Shin Chav Ches, the Aruch HaShulchan says it refers to the side of the foot or the hand that's on the same side as the fingernails. That's what we're talking about, not the front over here, but the back. And the Ketos HaShulchan says it doesn't include the fingers, and everybody says the same thing. Now, the Shmira Shabbos then goes on to say that medical professionals agree nowadays there's no such sakana of the back of the hand or the back of the foot. Nishtana HaTzvayim. We try to rarely invoke that principle because it can be abused and make a lot of trouble for other things. But in this case, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says Nishtana Tvayim. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch and Gemara, that was considered dangerous, maybe because of the veins, I'm not sure. But nowadays it's not. And if the doctor says there's a wound on the foot and the hand and there's no sakana, it's not Pikuach Nefesh, and this is Halacha L'maisa. Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Zayin talks about a wound that comes from metal. It's a case of Pikuach Nefesh. If you get hit by a sword, essentially that's what he's talking about. We don't have so many swords and injuries nowadays, but I don't know, there's a lot of crazy people out there. So you get ruined with a sword. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's Pikuach Nefesh. So the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha cites the Tvu Ashur, who has a suffix of what type of halacha this is referring to, what type of makkah this is referring to. The Aruch HaShulchan says it has to be a strong loaf of metal. A strong hit from a piece of metal in order to not just like you sliced your finger. You're dicing tomatoes on Shabbos, you're slicing tomatoes on Shabbos, and, you go through. Unfortunately, our local plastic surgeon moved away. So right. When these things come up, we have Horshan, Dr. Horshan. That was our, he was very important for Shabbos. And, he moved, so what are we going to do? Okay, so you slice a little bit. That's not enough to be Mechal Shabbos. It has to be a strong force. Now, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it's not relevant nowadays. And certainly, nowadays we have been vaccinated for tetanus, therefore we're not concerned about
the assumption has to break the skin, right?
Yeah, it's not for just, sure. It's not just you know, one human takes like a metal pipe and hits the other one in the back of the head. That's okay. I mean, you shouldn't do that, but nevertheless, that's not enough to be Mechal Shabbos. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch...
It's more of a piercing as opposed
yes,
to...
Yes, correct.
It
has
slicing.
To be something internal. Mm-hmm. So the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara of Arizarach of Ches, then says that for high fevers, we're Mechal Shabbos. And here is the place to discuss, well, how high a fever are we Mechal Shabbos? And that is a good number to know. So there are three... I'm really going to call it 2.5 shittas in the poskim because one of them is cheating. We'll get to the cheating one in a second. The major shita that is discussed is Ramosha. Ramosha says 102. This is an Igros Moshe or a Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Chavtes that it doesn't have to be an exact number because we're Mechal Shabbos for a Suffolk, but he says for most people 102 is too hot. And once the temperature is that high, you should not be machmer to refuse medical attention. If a person has 101 and he wants to be Mechal Shabbos, he's allowed to. Person has 101, they don't feel good, they want to go to the hospital, then let them go, it's not a problem. For a baby, anything over 100, and if the child is in pain, is enough to be Mechal Shabbos. That's Rav Moshe's tshuva. So there are two schools of thought in the Igros Moshe here. On one hand, there's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is in the Mechitzas Rabbeinu that they wrote about him after he passed away. And he says, Rav Moshe's too machmer. He says 102. He says if a person feels that a child is complaining that the ear, the throat, or the head hurts, even if there's no fever, you should be checked by a doctor with Chil Shabbos if necessary. If the kid's complaining that his ear aches and he's in a lot of pain, take him to the doctor. The doctor can turn on the scope and do what he needs to do if the kid is in pain. That's where Yaakov Kamenetsky says Rav Moshe is too machmer. On the other hand, the Deborah Sina Rav, the Bear Moshe, writes in Chelik Vav that Rav Moshe is too lenient. He says, what is he talking about? Chalila lahakel bezeh kulehai. God forbid to rely on this. Person has 102, deal with it. Take a drink of schnapps, take a nap, and whatever, you figure it out. It's not a reason to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. And this is the sheet of the Tzitz Eliezer as well in Chelek Ches. So how do we deal with Rav Moshe? So Rabbi Badner writes in Refuas Yisrael, and he defends Rav Moshe, and he explains that the geder given by Chazal is chom biyoser. Now the problem is, how do you define chom biyoser? Rav Moshe says that a stam person feels too hot at 102. It's true that 102 can come from an illness that's not dangerous, but you don't know for sure. And therefore, he says Rav Moshe is just defining what chom biyoser to. If people had 102, you would feel uncomfortable. That's enough to feel too hot, or I guess if you have chills, too cold, whatever it may be. And therefore, that's what Rav Moshe means, and he defends him. There's another Hagdara to say, and this is what the Orcho Shabbos writes. Rabbi Rubin writes in the Orcho Shabbos in Perachof like this, that there's room to say that for most people with 102, they take some medicine, they go to bed, and they're fine. However, if a person has 102 over a number of days, then in such a case, they would normally go to the doctor, and if it would occur over Shabbos, it would be usher to be machner. That's what emotion means.
Now, in this whole discussion of fever, I sort of, from my perspective as a doctor, we look at fever. Fever is definitely something important, but there are plenty of times you'll look at somebody, you'll take in a case, somebody's maybe only 100.
Yeah.
And you know from everything else that this is something serious. And sometimes you'll see 100 and you'll say, this is nothing, this is the flu. So
I think if from a medical perspective as a doctor, if the doctor says it's pikuach nefesh, it's pikuach nefesh. I think this is more for the home patient who is looking at a temperature and says, what am I supposed to do? That takes into account the third approach. Rabbi Riviat writes in the 39 Malachos that Rav Moshe means the following. He cites Rosh Hashanah Zalman in the Shemir Shabbos, who says that if the temperature is above normal and there's no cause is known and the patient feels ill, then it's pikuach nefesh. I don't know why I have this, and I feel very ill, and that's pikuach nefesh, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman. And this is the Oz Nidbaru, and if a patient has an above normal temperature, along with the disorder of an internal organ, that's also pikuach nefesh. So a person just came out of surgery, and now they have, 102, and there's something's working inside their body, so that's another reason to go to the hospital. Okay, that's the major sheets of Moshe 102. I said it's 2.5 because the Or LeZion, Rav Benzion Abba Shaul, writes that if it's 39C, that's also pikuach nefesh. Now, that's 102.2. So, I understand it's small, but technically they're arguing, but also technically they're not. They're just coming Celsius versus Fahrenheit. Fine, so that's 2.5, that's 1.5. And this third sheet is the Tzitzel Yezer, the Shevet HaLevi, from Nissen Karel, to say that 104. 104 is Pikuach Nefesh, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi. Okay, then there's a discussion about blood pressure.
It's funny because you would think that Tzitzel Yezer would use Celsius as well.
Right here. Akasha on Tzitzel Yezer. Okay, so a person can always take their blood temperature on Shabbos with a manual monitor, without question, even though we don't measure on Shabbos. So the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa says this is a medida shel mitzvah. This is a measuring for the sake of a mitzvah, and measuring for the sake of a mitzvah is allowed.
Also, a manual cuff is not that accurate. It's not accurate like a digital cuff.
So within the halachas of medida b'Shabbos, you don't have to be that accurate.
And that's what I'm saying. My understanding was that for medida on Shabbos, if it's not so accurate, it's not considered.
It's accurate enough to get information. Meaning, we don't allow, for example, using an hourglass. Hourglasses just tells you if it's your turn in Monopoly or whatever game you're playing. I'm saying it's enough to tell you some important information. So generally, using a manual cuff is fine in any situation. Person wants to check their blood pressure every single day, then they're crazy about it. So then, by all means, use that.
Even someone who's not a chayla, doesn't have high blood pressure.
If there needs to be some sort of need, meaning the doctors tell him, you know, he should watch it. The guy's bored, and you know, he's just sitting around the house. Well, I wonder what my blood pressure is. So then, no, that's not.
Why is that a medida shel mitzvah?
To be in good health. To be in good health.
The mitzvah is being.
The mitzvah is being in health. Correct. Let's say.
So should you take your blood pressure every day?
I don't know. Tell me.
Medida shel mitzvah.
I don't know. Is it?
What does the phrologist say?
Should you take your blood pressure every day? I don't know.
I don't understand the justification of calling it a medida shel mitzvah. Even somebody who's hypertensive isn't taking it every day.
Right. Unless that's the situation, I guess, where you need to be on top of it.
If you're monitoring medication or whatever.
There are people
who take it every day, but they end up using electronic monitors.
Ah, good. So let's talk about electronic monitor. So a person's a chol she'ein bo sakana, meaning they're supposed to monitor their blood pressure, then they can certainly take any of their medicines needed for their blood pressure as recommended by the doctor. If the person's a chol she'ein bo sakana, meaning high blood pressure combined with another hypertension system, and the only thing is electronic device available, then they can have a guy press the buttons. And if there's no guy available, then they can use the electronic device with a shinoi. Press the button with a shinoi.
So measuring the blood pressure in that situation would be a diuresa?
What meaning?
The electronic blood pressure cuff.
Well, using the cuff would only be durabana.
Even the electronics, I think.
Yeah, even durabana. Correct. So
why is that any different than doing it manually? Because doing manual is no malacha.
Because doing manually is correct. Doing manually is no malacha at all.
Even the medida issue is
not. Medida, it's not a factor in this case. It falls away. But in the case of the pressing the buttons, that's going to be it's co-save, something like that, if you press it. So use a shinoi or a guy. We had a shot like that once. So somebody had open heart surgery. So we said either use a guy or use a shinoi. Okay, the person's embarrassed. They don't want anybody to know. So then they'll use a shinoi if there's no guy available. Okay, there's a longer discussion about eye issues in Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Tes. Perhaps we'll discuss eye issues when we get to Sakanas Aver. Severe eye infections are certainly Pikuach Nefesh. We are Mechal Shabbos for them, if needed be. Let's get to some doctor issues, shall we? Doctors. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud says that if a doctor tells a patient that something is a Sakana, you must listen, and you must be Mechal Shabbos. That is the end of the discussion. If you have a problem with that in the future, just carry on Shulchan Aruch Shin Chaches Yod with you, and you know, you have to listen to the doctor. That is the end of the discussion. This is even if another doctor said there's no sakana. If there's a machlokas harofim, and some say it is sakana, some say it's not. How often does that happen? Is that usually everybody's on the same page, probably, in most cases? Yes? No?
No.
Okay. No, they're not on the same page? They're not on the same page. There are machlokas harofim when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. Okay.
Four doctors and like four Jews.
Okay, so then even if somebody says no and somebody says yes, then you're machmer to go with the person who says yes. And the Elio Rabba says that this is the case even if both doctors are equal in stature, both equally, you know, board certified, same medical school, same experience, everything is the same across the board, still we're machmer. But if one is a mumcha gadol, and we follow the doctor, l'chumra u'l'kula, then obviously they need to discuss who's a better mumcha, which doctor knows more, whatever, you guys can figure that out, and they'll decide. And this is the Shita of the Bir Halach and the Aruch HaShabbos. The Rama says that a guy is not believed regarding Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Now, before we get angry letters to the editor, This is cited by the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Mishnah Berurah. And the Chut Shani says that the Rama is talking about a regular guy, meaning your neighbor, you know, Mike, tells you, you know, you better get that checked out. And you're like, thanks, Mike. I didn't really ask your opinion. You're not a doctor. So then you don't have to listen to Mike. That's what the Chut Shani is saying. That's what the Rama is saying. You don't have to listen to him. However, if a Goyish doctor tells you something is sakana, then you do listen. And the same, if anybody's a shy, the same is for a non-observant doctor as well, even though maybe in some cases Dino Kagai, but certainly we listen to the doctor in that case.
Now, this comes up practically over the next couple of weeks when it comes to fasting on Yom Kippur. It's not kind of about fasting on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
I think also for a lot of Goyish doctors, if you ask the Moshe, I fast on Yom Kippur, especially if there's no sensitivity, then they're like, you should never be fasting, so No, you shouldn't fast on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would come into play in a situation like this.
So in those situations, you must have consultation with either a rabbi plus a doctor or a doctor who is, you know, familiar with both. For Yom Kippur Shilas, always have to have both combined, for sure, 100%.
The Rama actually write that if the doctor is the guy doctor, he doesn't say that.
The guy is not believed. That's
so who says that if a doctor tells you? It's the Chut Hashani.
It's Chut Hashani. Rinnison Karel says this is in Chelek Dal and Hilchos Shabbos. He says the Rama doesn't mean a doctor.
Because the post can definitely speak about not being operated on by a guy, right, who's a doctor.
Well, that we'll get into the...
Because you're worried he's going to kill you.
Right. That's for sure. That's a Din Hilchos Sakan and Yoredeya. That's more of a Yoredeya Shaila. But that's always the thing.
I was guessing that's where this is coming from as well, right?
This
you can't trust him.
You trust him. Perhaps it could be. That's always the famous. That's always the riddle you can give kids. Where do you have two isurim that if you put them together, it's mutter? The Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to get a haircut from a guy, and you can't look in a mirror because it's begadisha. But if you get a haircut from a guy in a mirror, then it's mutter.
Right.
So two isurim put together, it's mutter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. So that's the sheet of the Rama. And the Orchel Shabbos goes further and says that if a guy is very savvy in medicine, we also listen to Ramachal Shabbos. So if Mike, you know, watches a lot of doctor shows and a lot of YouTube surgeries on his free time, so then, okay, Mike can tell me what to do if he's pretty savvy in medicine. Next. So there's a letter from Reb Chaim Berlin, famed, and it's Siv's oldest son, in the Evan Shoam. And he has a suffix in a case where one doctor says it's not pikoach nefesh, and two doctors say it is pikoach nefesh. What do you do in a case like that? And can this single doctor be mechal Shabbos on his own for the chola? I think it's pikoach nefesh. Everybody else in the room says it's not. Can I be mechal Shabbos for him and go against them? So the Evan Shoam and the Tzitz Eliezer and the Shmir Shabbos all say that a single doctor must be mechal, not that he can. If he thinks it's pikuach nefesh, you must be mechal Shabbos in that case in order to follow through on your opinion, even if there's no one else who's going to be merapahim. If you can give it to somebody else who will take care of it, a guy will take care of it. But if nobody else will take care of it, and it's just you versus everybody else, you must do it. Not a shayla. Okay.
The way it's written here is not...
It says
one doctor says it's not because two say it is.
Yeah.
It should be the reverse.
Correct. It should be the reverse. Correct. My mistake. So it happens to be, this is not necessarily medical related, but there's a fascinating Mishnah Berurah here, and I want to pass it over. The Mishnah Berurah on this Siman of Shulchan Aruch says that if someone is in a situation where they're being forced to be Mekadoshim Shemayim to give up their life or violate the three cardinal sins, then the Chofetz Chaim says, Efshar, that word, Efshar, you should be Mechal Shabbos to save him. So everybody looks at the Chofetz Chaim and says, what do you mean, Efshar?
Why wouldn't you save him?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you save him? The guys either worship about Avodah Zarah, I'm going to shoot you. And the Chofetz Chaim says, maybe you'll save him. What does that mean? So the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, with Svi Hirsch Levinson, writes in the Avnei Shai Shem Simon Zion that the Chofetz Chaim means as follows, that a person has a chiyuv to be Moser Nefesh. If a person is in the midst of a situation of Kiddush Hashem to give up their life, then they are chayuv to be Moser Nefesh, and therefore it's a suffig whether the Torah is makbid on his loss of life. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. If a person, b'shas maisa, at that moment, is in the situation of pikuach of Kiddush Hashem, it's a suffix whether you have to do something because in the middle of the mitzvah.
So if he could run away, he shouldn't himself.
I guess so. That's what the Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law thinks the Chavetz Chaim is saying. That's what he understands it. And therefore, it's a suffix that you should be Mechal Shabbos. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Amnesi Yaakov, says, I also have a tzarach yin. I don't know what the Mishnah is saying. I'm not sure. Maybe he's saying that. And maybe he's also unsure what to do in this case. So Rav Moshe in Yoradei and Chelet Beis and Kufa and Dal, and again the Chelet Gimel and Simon Tzadi, understands that this is the Kavan of the Mishnah Brura. He says that's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim means. He is a chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem, and therefore you can't save his life on Shabbos. There's no reason to go to save his life.
So if you can't save his life on Shabbos, why can you save his life during the week?
Because it goes like this. There, you're involving, there's an iser of Chil Shabbos.
There's no heter.
There's no heter to go and do anything, because it's in the middle of Kiddush Hashem. During the week, you don't necessarily, if I pull the guy out of the situation, so I didn't violate anything, it wasn't a chil Hashem, there's no iser to pull him out in that situation. So this is a point that I often like to raise. There's no inyan that a person needs to carry out an onesh from Shemayim. There's no din that a person needs to, you know, if a person's suffering, a person's in a situation, you don't have to put on a garza on this triangle and say, you know, that my life should be terrible and miserable. There's no din to do that. This comes up for, I remember I asked Rav Shechter this question once. I asked him, why is it that Avram Avinu davened for stone, but didn't daven to save Yitzchak? Should have said something. So Rav Shechter said, because stone was a gzera, and Yitzchak was a mitzvah. If Hashem gives you a mitzvah, then you have to do the mitzvah. But if there's a gzeir, if there's a punishment, if you can get out of the punishment, then get out of the punishment at the end of the day, for sure. So Shastra said, this is the mistake that the Catholic Church made. Because for a while, the Catholic Church didn't allow pain relief during labor. Because what does the Torah say?
That women should suffer.
Should suffer. So the Catholic Church said, you have to mekayim the klala. You can't have any pain relief during labor. So he said, that's dumb. Because it's there after. There's a klal that there'll be pain in childbirth. But you don't have to be makabel that pain, right? The klal is b'zeis apecha. You have to suffer when you go get a job. And a guy, you know, makes $1 million a year doing absolutely nothing and sits on his yacht all day, you know, what, he has to ruin it because of that? No. If you can get out of that klal, you don't have to carry it through. So I'm not sure what to say about over here with the sheets of the Chavetz Chaim. So Rav Moshe says this is what the Chavetz Chaim means, and I think he's wrong. That's what Moshe says. I don't think it's correct. He says, certainly we would be Michal Shabbos in such a case. And Rav Menashe Klein, in Chelek Yud Gimel, in Simon Nun Dalad, he does this often, where he doesn't like what somebody else says. He often says, like, you know, it can't be he said it. So this is one of those places. He finds it difficult that the Chavetz Chaim would write such a thing. And he says, how could one think that if Goyim were coming to force Jews to worship a Verzara, we wouldn't be Michal Shabbos to save them? Wouldn't the person himself in such a situation try to save himself, says Rav Menashe Klein. So wouldn't he be allowed to be Michal his own Shabbos to save himself? And he writes, Chas Melahazkir Davarzeh. God forbid to say such a thing that the Chavetz Chaim said that. I did it, but whatever. I violated Rav Menashe Klein's din to not say the Chavetz Chaim said it, but the Chavetz Chaim said it. And that's his approach.
Okay. I don't think it's a toad, so from right.
And no, that's the Rav Yehuda Chassid on the Chumash. Where he said, no, it's a, you know this? There's a parish of Yehuda Chassan Chumash, and in it he says some pretty wild things. And Rav Moshe says that it can't be. It must be a forgery because the things he writes are crazy. So Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva about the Igros Moshe, and he says we pashut know that Rav Yehuda Chassid, and it must be a forgery in the Igros Moshe. So okay. Whatever.
Okay. Question: did this son-in-law, they claim that the Chavetz Chaim's children, sons-in-law, helped them write?
This is not. Them, right? This is Rav Levinson who wrote the. No, the Chavetz Chaim's son wrote that in the.
That different people helped him write.
Correct. But this son-in-law is not the one who said that when there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura, it's because multiple people wrote it.
No. So is this son-in-law the one who was involved in helping him write
Chol
Shabbos? Yeah. That's my question.
You have to look in the...
That's the question I'm asking, because then he would know.
Right here. I'm not sure. I don't know. The famous in the biography about the Chafetz Chaim written by the son in the Kol Kisrei Chafetz Chaim. So the son says that sometimes there's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. It comes up, for example, Hilchos Sukkah. In one place, the Chafetz Chaim says that certain skachas tuma midarabanan, it's mekabel tuma midaraisa, or it's 100% mutter. He has a three-way stira based on a ritva. And then the one that he writes about is if it's Shabbos and a guy cooks food for you on Shabbos, is there a din of bishul akum for everybody else on that food? Can you partake of that food if somebody guy cooks food for a chol on Shabbos? Is it bishul akum for everybody else? So there's a steer in the Chafetz Chaim. One place he says yes, one place he says no. So there the son writes in his biography of his father that that's because multiple people wrote the Mishnah Berurah and there was some confusion along the way, and that's why it happened.
The Chaim Kanevsky argues.
He says that Mishnah Berurah is written Baruch HaKodesh, and you can't say such a thing, and you can't. Okay. But he did. He did say such a thing. That's what he's supposed to do. Okay. Let's talk about preferential ways of dealing with a chola. And that will be the major last topic. So, the Gemara in Yuma Peidalet says, Ein osin devarim halalu lo al yedei nachrim v'lo al yedei ketanim, ela al yedei gedol Yisrael. These should not be done by Gayim or children. Rather, it should be done by Gedol Yisrael when it comes to Chol Shabbos. So the Rush says that if there are children available, we're concerned lest on another occasion, people may delay in finding a child. The next time somebody, breaks something, there's not going to be a kid around, you're going to waste time. And the Beis Yosef says the same thing about a guy. The next time, there's not going to be a guy. And therefore, we don't wait for somebody else to be Mechal Shabbos, and this is decided by the Mishnah Berurah. However, Tosfos in Yuma says, we don't use a guy because they're going to neglect what is necessary. They're not going to put their full heart into it when it comes to taking care of the chola, and they're going to endanger the chola. And this is also cited by the Mishnah Berurah. So then the Gemara says, Ve'ein omrim yasu dvarim halalu lal p'nei pi nashim, v'lal pi kusim, aval mitzarfin l'das acheras. He says that we do not do bikuach nefesh for women via using a woman or a kusi. And then it says they join with other opinions. It's okay, exactly what it is. There's a machlosi in Rashi and the Riva, cited in the Rush and the Rambam. Eventually, Lemaisa, we go with the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Gemara means we're not machal Shabbos for a chol sheish v'sakana through gayim, children, slaves, or women, lest Shabbos will be light in their eyes. It will be a davar kal because you'll think, let this person do it. But it's not for me. I'm a chashuv person. I'm not going to be machal Shabbos. Rather, an adult Yisrael chacham should be machal Shabbos. Which leads to the following question. If there's no difference in the quality of timing or helping of the chol sheish v'sakana, is it preferable to use a guy? Everything is the same. It's you, and there's a guy, you and a guyish doctor in the hospital. Everything is the same. There's no difference. Should you do it yourself, or should you have the guy do it? So this is a machlokes rishonim between the Or Zarua, who says it's better to use a Jew, and the Riaz in Yuma, who says it's better to use a guy. So how does that come out in Shulchan Aruch? So the Rama says, "Vim efshar la'asos al yedei einu Yehudi below ichar klal osin al yedei einu Yehudi b'chei nagim." The Rama says, "If you can use a guy to the same chol Shabbos, by all means, that's what you should do." And this is supported by his Talmud, the Levush, the Chayyadam, the Ishlav Ram, and the Orcha Shabbos. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Kishemachal in Shabbos al chol sheish bo sakana mishtadlin shelo la'asos al yedei einu Yehudi uketanim v'nashim." Ella ayidei Yisraelim gedolim ubnei das. He says, no, you should never use a guy to be mechal Shabbos. Always a Jew should do it, without question. And this is side lahalacha by many Ashkenazi poskim, most importantly the Taz, and the Eliyahu Rabbah, and the Tosafot Shabbos, and the Machzor HaShekel, and the Prima Gadim, and the Ber Hativ, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, who says that using a guy would be an Isser Derabanan. There's a famous Shita of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who also Rav Chaim was against using the goy for Chol Shabbos, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Kaf HaChaim, the Ketzos HaShulchan, the Igros Moshe, all agreeing with the Taz, the Or Litzion, the Tzitz Eliezer, and the Shmir Shabbos. That was a long list. That was just to show you how majority the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is. Not to downplay the Ramah, but the far majority of poskim say that one should do it themselves and not use a goy in any situation. There's no, one should, not only is it not preferable, one should not. You should do it yourself. What's the reasoning of the Taz in arguing with the Ramah, though? It's unlike the Taz to go like the Ramah in such a case like that. So what is the reasoning of the Taz? So the Prima Gadim says he's concerned you may waste time. The Mishnah Berura says we're afraid the guy will not be as careful. The Tzitzel Ezra says it's really the same thing. The guy is going to not be careful and it's going to waste time. Or he says maybe you need both because one doesn't explain other cases. Even if the Yisrael explains that he and the guy could equally do the job, next time people might not remember that. For whatever reason, that's the reason of the Taz. The sheet of the Mishnah Berura is very unclear. There are, it's like a five-way steer in the Mishnah Berura all over Hilchos Shabbos. He says all different types of things. This is a famous case where you find Klalim in the Mishnah Berura. Rav Yosef Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson, has an article in the Torah Journal Moriah, which is Machon Yerushalayim's Torah Journal, in Shin Mem Dalet, where he presents the Klalim of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in learning Mishnah Berura. So he says that the rule is that when the Mishua brings an opinion as a stam and only references the name in the Shar HaTzion in the footnotes, then he holds that that's the dinner without question. But when the Mishnah Berura brings a name in the Mishnah Berura itself and doesn't leave it anonymous, then the Mishnah Berura holds that this is the proper halacha, but you have permission to argue with it. So with that, he wants to explain how the Mishnah Berura holds in the sugya, but it's still very complicated at the end of the day. If one wants to follow the Ramah, then what do you have to do? Let's say you want to be Machmer. You say, I prefer the guy's going to do it. I'm not going to be Michal Shabbos right now. I could take the person to the hospital, but I'm going to let the guy do it. It'll all be equal. So the Taz says, you must announce to everybody why you did that. You have to say, everybody who just observed what happened, I want to let you know that really all else was equal, and therefore the guy went. But if it were to happen again, 100% you should be Michal Shabbos. You have to clarify to people so they don't make a mistake in the future as well. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, the Ketzos HaShulchan, and the Shmir Shabbos. Okay, the Tzitzel Yezer and Cheleches says that a Jewish doctor should treat a Chol Sheish HaSakana as opposed to a non-Jewish doctor. However, most poskim say there's no difference regarding the medical care of a Jew or a guy. Runes and Karelitz notes something very important. He actually gives a good klal when it comes to this discussion. He says that if the Chol Sheish HaSakana needs something, that will be done the same every single day. A shot, being hooked up to a machine for some time, it's perfectly fine to have a guy do it. If every single day of the week a guy does the same thing, there's a procedure in the hospital, it's very clear what to do, it happens all the time, then without question, he says, a guy can do it equally as a Jew. Even the Shulchan Aruch would admit to that. Mipnei shekol davar sheyesh lo tachnit kavua. If there's a set procedure of how to do this thing, ma uketzad lasos lo shayach bezeh, there's no reason it's going to be delayed or something like that. And that's the rule I think is a good rule to walk away with. If it's a regular procedure that's standard, even in case of a Chol Sheish HaSakana, the guy and you are equal. If it's something that is an emergency, requires immediate action, it's not the norm, then you should step in and do it and not wait for a guy. Okay. What's better, a shinoi or using a guy? So that's also a machlokes haposkim. The Ramban and the Taurus Adam and the Or Zeruah say that when dealing with a Chol Sheish HaSakana, you should use a shinoi. And the Magid Mishnah Hilchos Shabbos and the Ramban Perek Beis says that the Ramban is not talking about a Chol Sheish HaSakana, and when dealing with a Chol Sheish HaSakana, there's no need for a shinoi. So you have here again a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis, and many poskim, the Bach and the El Yarab, the Shuas Yaakov, the Beis Yehuda, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Or LeZion, I saw Rav Shlomo Miller of Toronto says the same thing. There's never a need for a shinoi for Chol Sheish HaSakana. Ever. You should never use a shinoi in any form. And the Rama says, Dim efshar la'asos b'lo dichoi b'lo yichor ade shinoi osa ade shinoi. V'chein no, again, he says, you should use a shinoi if it's not going to make a difference. And this is the sheet of the Levushin l'chayad on the Shulchan Shlomo, Ksos HaShulchan, Rav Gedaliah Felder in the Asari Yashura, and Rav Al Yashiv, the Shmir Shabbos, the Nishma Shabbos, and many other poskim as well, the Aruch Shabbos. And now it seems to be the halacha, certainly for Ashkenazim, that if you can do it with a shinoi and it will make no difference, then you should do it. The question is exactly what that situation would be.
So, the one that I think of is if I get a call on Shabbos, I have to pick up the phone, I can answer the phone with the shinoi.
Great.
It's not a big deal. Like, you can, you know, instead of putting your finger on the phone, move the phone into your finger.
It doesn't make a difference. Great. Okay. That's good. Picking up the phone. Good. According to Shulchan Aruch, there's no reason to do that. According to the Ramah, there is a reason. Good. Any other examples? I don't know. It's hard to think. Like, you're not going to, like, hold the surgical knife in your left hand. Like, as the, I assume so. No? Is that a good practice?
The teeth.
What? Your teeth? So certainly.
Can you carry with both hands?
Yes.
What?
He can get into a vein with either hand.
Mm-hmm. Huh? That's pretty good.
And you both, yeah. Especially
with
the left,
you
need to be able to.
Okay, so the discussion of the Ramaz and Del Reis is the Rabbanan.
When I put courts in and stuff like that, all this decision, I'll obviously use my right
hand.
Wow. Great. Okay. So there's a question, is the Ramaz the Rabbanan, is it Del Reis? Okay, whatever, that's more in Lumdus and not for right now. The Mishabur talks about the Ramaz, that the Ramaz would agree that it's better to use a Shinoi. Even if it causes a slight delay, it's inconsequential to the chola. Shlomo Zalman says, "Lo yadati minayim lo chiddush zeh." He says, "I don't understand where the Mishnah gets this idea from," and he strongly argues that any shuni that delays the refuah is not allowed. Any shinoi that's going to change anything in the refuah should not be done, says Shlomo Zalman. Even for instance, Rabbanan, one should not use a shinoi. There's a whole discussion about how to drive a car with a shinoi on Shabbos. We will leave that for another time.
Self-driving, right? Is that a guy or is that a, what is that?
One day. So we're not so far off.
Doesn't the Mishnah Rambam say that when you're doing your procedure, you should not use a shinoi? You should do it the way you normally do it.
What, the procedure?
When you're doing procedures, like surgical procedures.
That seems to be, that's the...
You mentioned a knife. That's why he went to using its other hand.
Using a hat.
You probably shouldn't hold probably a scalpel with your other
sure
hand.
No.
It depends. If you need precision, then for sure not.
Right. No, but I think even not for precision, just because of Shabbos, if it was a Tuesday, right, would you switch hands in that particular case?
I would use my left hand if it was closer. It depends. Okay. For a tiny little incision, yes. For a
okay
real...
But I'm saying, for Kavana, to use your other hand because of Shabbos.
Right. Okay.
I think the Mishnah Sefer says you shouldn't.
Should
do that.
I don't know.
Unless
the I hear.
I just remember looking up when I did liver biopsies when I was on Shabbos. It's Sinai. I actually looked up specifically.
Is that by Derice or Rabbanan?
He said everything from A to Z that you do, no matter what. It's a total Derice.
Meaning his rule that you would never use a Shinoi. Is that not? He doesn't say that. He would say that also, even by Derice, if there's no difference at all. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but these are derisive. He says even the preparation of the instruments, because you're worried that if you do it incorrectly, you'll make it unsterile. You'll do different things you'll do, and then you'll mess up the whole procedure.
Not sure.
I remember, again, I read this
a
long time ago. I haven't done this on Shabbos.
Right.
Wouldn't use your left hand.
When I delivered biopsy, we didn't use a gun. We did it with our hands.
Okay, I'm saying I would use...
We injected.
Either side.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I wouldn't change scope to another hand, I would use the same.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
anything
else
going to be
based on where the angle and everything.
Right. Yeah.
That's for us.
Okay. Fine.
That's lighting. That's electric, no?
Yeah.
So how would you turn that on?
Oh, well, that's a good question. What about just turning on the scope?
I've had to...
What I did the first time I had to do a procedure on Shabbos, I didn't know what to do. Okay. So I actually flipped all the switches on before I plugged in the machine.
That's a
Shinoi.
For sure.
Oh, I used my knuckle, I just turned them all on.
Yeah.
They were all off normally. I was like, this is just stupid. Do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I got to the room, and I pushed the car into the room, and I let the nurse plug in the thing, and all the lights went on. And it was great.
Yeah.
Nice.
So again,
that was easy. Then I told the attending what I did. He said, what a great idea. And they got a power strip. They did it. And that was
but then I'm saying for Spartan, though, there's no Shiloh.
Right.
For us, Ben Ashkenaz, then here. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember the answer I'm saying that. But
this is 20-something years ago that I read it. So I haven't had to worry about it in 20
non-Jew,
years.
Right? You're probably doing a procedure on a non-Jew. That's also covers in, right?
Was your
it's in a hospital.
Yeah.
It's
I was saying, we'll discuss.
Right.
For sure. Okay. Let's just discuss.
He has a little handbook that he used to carry, and in there he had it.
I'm
talking about these little. He has these little pamphlets. Maybe that's for doctors that carry on Shabbos.
Oh, yeah?
I'll bring it next time. I'll show you.
Okay, so show and tell.
It's all at home from.
Okay.
From Schlesinger, exactly. Yeah. I carry in my pocket.
Okay, so we need show and tell next time. There's a, the Ramah discusses if there's no possibility of a shinui, can you do a shnayim sh'aso, two people doing the malacha? I don't know what is there a possible medical situation where you have two people do one action?
I don't see.
I don't know where that would come out. The Ramah says if there's is not shinui possible, shnayim sh'aso.
Can I light the vein for a central line?
Can you have two people? I don't even know what that would be. I don't know what that would be.
Turning on the equipment.
Hey, two people press the button at the same time?
Yeah. It's weird, but that's the point.
I guess so. I guess you could do it in such a case like that.
Okay.
Fine, and this is quoted by the posting as well. Let's just discuss a few more cases at the end over here. What's better, Amira Lenachri?
One person held the thing and the other person pushed the pedal?
Right. Quartery.
Right,
yeah.
Quartery, when you burn something.
Yeah.
So one person hold the instrument, and the other one push the button.
Here.
That's a good one.
Teamwork.
Yeah, I actually had somebody do a paracentesis today while...
I had a partner who did his own colonoscopy.
Yeah, you can do it.
And he had a polyp.
Yeah.
And he had a polyp. Okay. And he had another one of my partners in the room with him. He put the snare in. He put it around it. And the other partner actually closed the snare and cauterized.
On himself.
No, the guy, he didn't have enough hands to do everything.
He just wanted to
so the other procedure. Guy... He's a little bit of a mishugan on this part. There's a Japanese guy who's done this like 10 times, so he wanted to copy him.
Fascinating. Okay. What's better, Amira Lenachmir or a Shinoi? So that's also Machlokas Aposkim. The Nishma Shabbos Rav Harfinis and Roy Badner, the Orach HaShabbos, say Amira Lenachmir is better. And Ador Reis with the Shinoi is a Malacha Darabanan. And the Taz felt that a Jew is always better because he'll be more Zariz than an Akum. And according to the Taz, then certainly a Jew is always better than using a guy because you're afraid that the guy is not going to be as careful. So at the end of the day, I think it's a field of choice. You know, they're probably pretty much similar at the end of the day, a Shinoi versus a guy. Then there's the Shai, what's better, Talmid Chacham or a regular person? Should you send a Talmid Chacham over a regular person? So the Rambam is clear. The Rambam says, Ela Ayde Gedoli Yisrael V'Chachmeyam. And this is the sheet of the Riaz as well. And the Mishnah Berurah. And the Orach HaShabbos. If you have two choices between two people in the Orach HaShabbos, you should send the person who knows more versus the person who doesn't know more. Okay. And then there's a discussion, Rosh Shlomo Zalman and Nishmas Avram talks about something that's not Tzarch of Mamish, like taking down a temperature, like writing down a temperature, turning off the lights. If that case, certainly a Shino or a Guy should be used, and this is the sheet of almost all the Poskim as well. However, the Tzitz Eliezer writes in Cheleches and Siman Tes Vav that there's a difference, that there's any difference in anything can be done for the sake of a Chol Shir Sakana, regardless. The lights, the taking down the temperature, everything. And this goes on like in Camp Hask, in Camp Simcha, and they have to take measurements like that on Shabbos, medications, what the kids are taking, things like that. So then they will they'll use a computer to take down the medications. But they'll write it with a shinoi. They'll have, like, I think Rav Asher Weiss said, to put a thumb, like a thimble, on your finger. So you do this, at least when you're pressing the button, something like that. So even though that's not at that moment, it could be potentially a sakana if the kid takes the wrong medicine. But right now, just recording it now is not such a tzarech. But he said in those cases they use a shinoi at the end of the day. Okay. Do they have a